Wednesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, doing another mail call episode today. So I recorded this live on the Locker Room app where people were able to join me and ask questions of their own while I was taking questions from Twitter and from the email inbox, as I usually do. So a combination of your regular mailbag episode and sort of a traditional call-in style radio show. Had a lot of fun, as always, doing this. If you want to, in the future, participate, you can send questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, email questions to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com, or download the Locker Room app, follow me there, and you can talk live. We can have a conversation on air there, and then I use that recording for this podcast. So here it is.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, welcome to a mail call edition of Locked On Warriors here on a Wednesday morning, taking questions you emailed me or sent to my Twitter account, and then taking calls from here on the Locker Room app. If you want to chat, request to speak, and we can talk some Warriors, NBA, New Year's stuff, whatever you want. But first, let's get to this email from Rick, who writes in, a lot has been made about the Warriors dropping from title contenders to potentially fringe playoff team due to Klay Thompson's injury. How would the other title contenders fare with the loss of their second best player? Would they drop to the fringe or out of the playoffs completely? Now, this is a really good question, I think. Klay Thompson goes down for the season-ending injury, and immediately we write off the Warriors as no longer title contenders. Now, had they had Klay, you have Andrew Wiggins, you don't have Kelly Oubre, but you don't really need Oubre if you've got Klay. I thought this team was a title contender, and I think that's fair, a fair assessment. But without Klay Thompson, without the shooting, without the defense, he just fills so many holes for them. I don't know that this team is a championship contender. As good as they've looked in the last couple of games, we're going to know more about them in this upcoming seven-game stretch when they're playing basically nothing but playoff teams, playing the Lakers, the Clippers, things like that. So we'll know more. But for now, no, they're not a title contender. And I do wonder, what if you did the same sort of thing to other teams, to other contenders, to Rick's question here? So the Lakers, if you take away LeBron or Anthony Davis, I think that team is still a playoff team, but no longer a title contender, right? I mean, so much of their money is tied up in LeBron and Anthony Davis. And this is just sort of the case when you go throughout the league. With the Warriors, they have a lot of their money tied up into Klay Thompson, but they're so far into the luxury tax that really there's no opportunity cost lost there. And they're spending so much on Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, that I don't think that they're missing money. It isn't so much a salary cap issue for Golden State, but for a team like the Lakers who had to go out, they didn't draft their stars, right? They had to go trade for Anthony Davis. They had to sign LeBron as a free agent. If you get rid of one of them, man, their depth takes a real hit. But still, you've got one of LeBron and one of Anthony Davis. Probably still a playoff team. Philadelphia, as good as they look early in the season, they're probably a championship contender right now. But if you take Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons out of the equation, I don't know. Probably still a playoff team in the East. Probably not a contender. We've been doing this experiment with Philadelphia for years, though. Are they better with just one of Embiid or Ben Simmons? It would be similar to where with the Lakers, you'd have to trade one of them to really build the roster around Embiid or Simmons. But if one of them were to just get injured, then, yeah, they're probably still a playoff team in the East because those two guys on their own are so dominant and can be so dominant, but they're not a title contender. Look, I don't know that any of these teams would be title contenders if you take away one of their stars, but I don't really know which one drops out of the playoffs completely, like the Clippers. You take away Paul George, they're probably still a playoff team. If you take away Kawhi Leonard, but keep Paul George, maybe not a playoff team in the Western Conference. Boston, who are their two stars at this point? It's Jason Tatum and probably Jaylen Brown at this point. They need Jason Tatum to be a title contender. Jaylen Brown, as good as he's been early in the season, we'll see if that continues. Utah, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, I don't know. As long as you have Rudy Gobert, you've got a top 10 defense. Donovan Mitchell really kind of plays his best in the postseason. I think they're always just going to be a playoff team. I wouldn't consider Utah right now a title contender. Brooklyn, we're going to see in these next few games, right? Kevin Durant's going to be out for four games because of the coronavirus protocols. We'll see what this looks like with Kyrie Irving, but we saw it last year too when it was just Kyrie Irving, and we've seen Kyrie Irving-led teams don't go very far, but a Kevin Durant-led team, that team is a bona fide playoff team, maybe even a title contender without Kyrie Irving. Like, Kevin Durant is that good. So look, the Miami Heat, are they title contenders? Probably still, even though they've gotten off to a rough start. They're 3-3, but if you take Bam Adebayo away, they're probably still a playoff team, not a title contender. Likewise for Jimmy Butler. Milwaukee, as long as they have Giannis, they're fine. If you take Giannis off that team, they drop out of the playoffs completely. I don't think a Drew Holiday-led team, Chris Middleton-led team is getting to the postseason, even in the Eastern Conference, probably. They need Giannis. So an interesting thought experiment from Rick. Thank you for emailing that question over. If you want to talk, request to speak here on the Locker Room app, and we can talk Warriors, NBA, New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to talk about. Oh, Dustin. What's up, man?
So thanks for having me on, Wes. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? How's your New Year?
It's fantastic, man. I couldn't have asked for a better year.
Very good. What are we talking about here?
I'm curious, you know, what are your thoughts on the way Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins have looked as of recent? You know, of course, you know, some up and down play, but with Curry balling out and you know, looks like Oubre's playing better with Curry playing better. If Curry keeps this up, are Oubre and Wiggins gonna, you know, have more perceived value around the league?
See, that's an interesting question. I think with Wiggins and Oubre, they look much more comfortable when Steph is playing this way, and Steph is playing this way because Draymond is back. I mean, his return is not, that's not a coincidence. Steph, you could tell, has started to shake off the rust. Draymond Green is playing like midseason form at this point. He's gonna get to about 30 minutes per game here pretty quickly. And so when he's running the offense and you got Steph Curry playing off the ball, then now all of a sudden you have a solid foundation for guys like Wiggins and Oubre to sort of just play off of, where as before, without Draymond, Wiggins had to do so much ball handling, and I don't think he was that comfortable doing it, even though he was more comfortable than Oubre doing it. And now with Oubre being able to play off of those three guys, well, all of a sudden, you don't really even need him to make three-pointers, right, if those other three guys are really playing well and if James Wiseman is being productive. So they look much more comfortable, and this was sort of the vision for the Warriors, for Steve Kerr with this team, was, all right, let's take a lot off of Wiggins' plate so he doesn't have to try to be the number one pick anymore. Let's just let Kelly Oubre slash to the basket, make open shots, and pick up full court on defense and things like that. And as long as they play well in those roles, I think their value will go up. I don't know. With Oubre, he's on an expiring contract, right? And so I don't know what team is going to be out there that wants to trade for Kelly Oubre. To me, a team like the Warriors are the kind of the team that needs Kelly Oubre, because you've got Klay Thompson coming back. He comes off the books and boom, there's no real math to do as far as the rotation is concerned. But with Wiggins, if he plays in this role, he'll be really helpful for the Warriors, but he's still making $27, $28 million a year. What team is going to want to pay that much money for a role player, you know? So he's going to be one of those guys, I think, who ends up kind of like Draymond, being more valuable to the Warriors than anybody else. That said, that's a really big salary, and if the big all-star trade becomes available at some point, well, then you might need to throw in Wiggins' salary just to even get to the right kind of contract amount. But you'd also have to be thrown in your Minnesota pick, maybe even James Wiseman, depending on who this player is that we're talking about or whatever. That, to me, is the only way that a Wiggins trade gets done. But, you know, for now, he just needs to play this role and play it well. And then you get to that point where maybe he's a little bit less of a negative contract throughout the league.
We'll be right back. But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. The college football championship is coming up. The NFL wildcard round of the playoffs is up this weekend, and the NBA season is in full swing. There's only one place that has you covered to bet on the games, and one place that I trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag, and then use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That's 50% back on your initial deposit. Free money to make money with. How could you beat that? The NFL games are here. We've got the playoffs coming up, wildcard weekend, bet on the lines, bet on the over-unders, Whatever you want to do with that. If you've got an opinion on the college champion football championship game, you know, my money is on Alabama, right? I'm not a believer in Ohio State as good as Justin Fields look. I think Alabama just has too much talent. They're far and away the best team in college football, and I would just bet against them at your own risk. And the NBA season is here. You listen to this podcast. You probably listen to other NBA podcasts. Hopefully you're listening to Locked On NBA as well. And if you do that, you're going to just know more than the average person. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, with daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers, subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.
I don't know. Did that help answer your question, Dustin?
Yeah, for sure. And just to put things, you know, to rest, because you know, all off season, or I should say in between, you know, in between, you know, the draft and the regular season, you know, everyone, you know, said, you know, like, Wiseman's not going to start, you know, Looney should start, Chris should start. The Warriors are fine, right, with their big rotation. They were saying this before the draft. The Warriors are fine with their big rotation. Can we now confidently say, like, drafting James Wiseman was the right move, and is certainly – helps their big rotation, and then James Wiseman should be starting for the
Warriors? I think there's no doubt that Wiseman needs to be starting for the Warriors. And that to me speaks a lot about Wiseman, but it kind of speaks more to where the NBA is and the issues that Kevon Looney and Marquese Chris had. Because look, if Kevon and Marquese came out in the preseason when James Wiseman wasn't playing and just snatched the starting center role, we wouldn't have been talking about Wiseman starting before he'd ever been in training camp or preseason or anything like that. To me, that was more desperation, him starting the opening night against Brooklyn, than anything. But give him credit. Like, he's now earned that role. Like, they haven't had to wonder whether or not he should be the starting center or not. He's still learning. He's still developing. But he's proved to be really coachable. He's proved to be able to sort of adjust on the fly. And he's 7'1". He's enormous. And when you're that big, your floor is just so high, compared to a guy like Kevon Looney, who can get beat on the boards, or Marquese Chris, you know, who is not the best rim protector. So, look, I think I don't know if I'm going to go as far as to say that Wiseman is the right move. Who knows? Like, Devin Vassell or somebody that got picked later could end up being the next, you know, MVP. Like, we don't know. It's too early to kind of make any sweeping conclusions. But I'll tell you this: he wasn't the wrong pick, right? We know that. Like, he's not going to be a bust. He's going to be a really solid center in the NBA for a long time. He's going to, at the very least, he'll be a rim protector and a floor spacer. I think he still needs to work on some of his ball skills, still needs to become more of a playmaker, needs to be able to look to pass. The only time he ever really looks to pass is on the back end of an offensive rebound. He's figuring out not to just take whatever it is that the defense gives him, force the issue a little bit more. Don't just take the open three, the open jumper all the time. You know, put the ball on the floor, get to the rim. That's a good development that we're starting to see. At some point by the end of the season, he needs to start being able to take all of that and then pick the ball up and then pass to an open teammate, because he's going to draw so much attention to the paint. That's where you're really going to get him playing at an all-star level, is when he's able to use his gravity, right? The attention that he draws near the rim, and then create open shots for others. That's what's going to be important for him. It's going to be what's important for the Warriors. Until we see that, I still have my doubts that he could be an MVP caliber, future face of the franchise type guy. You need to be able to do that. I haven't seen that in Memphis. I haven't seen it so far in the NBA, but not to harp on that. I don't mean to, like, he's 19. He's shown a lot already. It was not the wrong pick. And I think that there's reason to be encouraged and reason to believe that he could get there. Thanks so much for jumping on here, Dustin.
No, man. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. George, how you doing?
Hey, Wes. Just want to say love the podcast. And it's Jorge, by the way. Sorry.
Jorge. Sorry about that.
No problem. So my question for you is, so Kelly Oubre really struggled to start the season, and I know you guys were talking a lot about Kelly, but do you see the Warriors maybe giving him a long-term contract at the end of the year, maybe at a reduced price from $15 million, or do you think he would just will earn a contract above that?
I think at this point, because of how deep into the luxury tax the Warriors are, and with Klay Thompson coming back next year, they would probably just let Kelly Oubre walk. That's not to say that Kelly Oubre won't, by the end of the season, earn another contract, earn another $15 million deal, or even maybe a bigger deal. But just given how much money the Warriors are going to be spending on this roster next year, and Steph Curry is going to be up for his big extension next year, putting even more money on the books in the future. And James Wiseman, after a couple of years, is going to need his extension. There's so much money on the books that even if they liked Kelly Oubre, it's just not going to be worth what it is that they are going to need to spend on him to bring him back if he's basically going to be coming off of the bench or playing sort of this, fourth or fifth option type role. And so I think this is probably Oubre's last season in Golden State, and he'll make the most of it. It's a contract year for him. It's a really big opportunity for him to get his next big deal. But I would be really surprised if he ended up being back with the Warriors next year.
Thank you, Wes.
You got it. Let's get to our next question. If you want to speak, request to speak on the Locker Room app. In the meantime, taking questions from Twitter and from the email. Let's get to this one. Exemplary non-bot on Twitter writes in, are you worried about Wiseman's hands? He seems to bobble the ball a bit and catches and rebounds and doesn't ever seem to palm it on dunks. I'm not worried about James Wiseman's hands. Actually, one of the things that Steve Kerr told me before the year when I was asking him about the workout and what impressed him so much about the workout that they had with Wiseman in Miami this offseason was his hands. He said his hands are huge. He can palm everything. He can dunk everything. What you're seeing right now with him bobbling is not—it's not a hands issue. When he bobbles like these tight pocket passes and stuff, I think it's a speed of the game issue, right? He's never played with guys who download the game and can get him the ball and deliver him the ball with this sort of speed, right? In high school, it was give the ball to Wiseman in the post, and he'll just be bigger than everybody, dunk, end of possession, right? At Memphis, it was just a lot of simple 1-5 pick and roll, and that was it. A lot of stuff in transition in those three games. Here, it's a lot more read and react, right? Here in Golden State, it's more, and just not just Golden State, this is the NBA. The speed of the game is such that it takes a while to get used to it. So to me, it's not a hands issue. It's just a, oh my God, I didn't realize the pass was coming kind of issue. You know what I mean? So not that worried about it. The hands are big. He'll get there as soon as the game starts to slow down for him. I'm not as worried about it. Request to speak here on the Locker Room app. We could talk Warriors, NBA, New Year, whatever you want. In the meantime, taking questions off of Twitter. This one comes from Teddy Dub Nation, who writes in, can Jordan Poole find consistent minutes in the rotation this year? So Jordan Poole hasn't played in the last two games, I think, really, like any meaningful minutes. He played in garbage time. But he seems to be now the odd man out of the rotation. Early in the year, it was Kent Bazemore. Now it's Jordan Poole. Bazemore has been really impressive in the minutes that he's played for the Warriors, making things happen and slashing to the basket, playing really good defense. One of the things that I thought the Warriors struggled with defensively early in the year was just basic know your personnel assignments, right? You know, you don't go under on a screen against Buddy Hield, but you do go under on the screen against De'Aaron Fox. And I thought Jordan Poole, he wasn't the sole culprit of messing that kind of stuff up, but he wasn't really helpful in that regard either. Kent Bazemore in that Kings game, I thought was one of their best defenders on the perimeter, you know, fighting over screens when Buddy Hield was trying to get three pointers, going under the screen and blocking De'Aaron Fox's lane. I almost put like a video breakdown of this together actually for Twitter. I just never really got around to it, but it was really impressive. And when he's playing defense like that, and on offense, he's attacking closeouts, kind of pressing the issue more than he was in the preseason. I thought he was really kind of patient, let the game come to him type of thing in the preseason. Now he's really forcing the issue, and that's what these Warriors need, is guys who can do that. So as long as Bazemore is playing like that, I don't know where Jordan Poole falls into the rotation. I get this other question from DeLo Twist, who writes in, should Poole or Nico Mannion get minutes over Brad Wanamaker, since Brad Wanamaker has been struggling? That, I guess, would be the only spot at this point for Jordan Poole. But look, I think Wanamaker, his experience, they're going to sort of default to that. The plan this year for Jordan Poole was not forever for him to be a core rotation piece. It was for him to continue to develop as a late first-round pick. And maybe at some point, Korvat a role in the rotation next year? I mean, look, next year, Brad Wanamaker, his contract is up. Kent Bazemore, his contract is up. So there'll be an opportunity next year, I think, for Jordan Poole to be part of the rotation. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad developmental curve for even a late first-round pick. So they'll see.
We'll get right back to the mail call, but first, let's talk about Built Bar. It's a new year, and while I'm not really a resolution guy, I do like to lock in my diet at the start of each year. From Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, I like to eat my cookies, the desserts, the carbs, whenever I feel like it. But for most of the year, I'm on a low-carb and a low-sugar diet so that I can earn that holiday eating spree. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect. They satisfy my hunger while I'm busy or I'm at work. They taste great. They work perfectly with my low-carb, my low-sugar diet. And with 18 amazing flavors, including salted caramel, lemon almond cheesecake, and peanut butter brownie, those are my personal favorites. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women. Whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging on a delicious treat, Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber, great if you're starting a keto diet for the new year. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get podcasts.
And as far as Nico Mannion goes, there's going to be instances this season where they are going to want some more ball handling on the floor. I think with having Draymond Green back and Wiggins proving to be a capable, you know, third sort of ball handler, maybe there's less of a need of that. And let's keep in mind here, too, no rush to get Nico Mannion on the floor because he's a rookie. And also, he's on a two-way contract, so he's only got 50 games that he can play. So I think in the dog days of the season, you know, February, March, early March, you might see Mannion a little bit more as they try to get rest for some guys. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe there's some sort of coronavirus protocol that they need to deal with at some point. You could see Nico Mannion play at that point. But in the meantime, I don't think that they're going to ask him to do too much. Well, I will say this. He's been really impressive in practice. Steve Kerr has been really impressed with Mannion. And I think they view him as maybe the long-term option as their backup point guard. What does that do for Brad Wanamaker? He probably doesn't have a long-term future in Golden State. What does that do for Jordan Poole? Well, then he probably needs to play off the ball a little bit more if he really wants to stick around. Because if Nico Mannion is the backup point guard of the future, well, that solidifies a really important role, I think, for this team, as we've seen. And by the way, Steph can play next to other point guards because he's so dangerous off the ball. If you want to chat, request to speak here on the Locker Room app. In the meantime, getting to some other questions off of Twitter. Should the Warriors, this comes from Atomic Cowboy, should the Warriors exercise the DPE now and aggregate that contract with a player and another, this is worded weird, I apologize. Should the Warriors exercise the DPE now and aggregate that contract / player with another player such as Kevon Looney for more salary to trade for a shooter? Look, I think if they use the DPE, it's going to be someone who maybe is a shooter, but somebody who's just going to help fill some real key minutes. Maybe they're not in love with Wanamaker or Bazemore in that rotation. Maybe they do decide that they need to add some more shooting. I just don't know who that player is. And I think that this idea, and by the way, that player probably comes on the buyout market after the trade deadline in March, but I don't know. I don't know where this idea that the Warriors absolutely need shooters above all else comes in. They do. They need some more floor spacing with Klay Thompson out, and probably even with Klay Thompson healthy. The problem is you can't really just have 3-point specialists on this roster if that's all they can do is shoot threes. They need to be able to defend. They really need to be able to move the ball and play make a little bit. Maybe that changes if Steve Kerr really embraces more of a vertical 1-5 pick and roll attack. You know, that's possible where you could say, look, it's Wiseman, Draymond Green, Steph Curry in the middle of the floor. And maybe we just dot shooters around the arc. If Andrew Wiggins is really a good ball handler, maybe he provides more of that when we need it. I think, look, maybe the Warriors could benefit from subbing Kelly Oubre out of the starting lineup with another shooter. It's something I've talked about before. I've actually talked about having Andrew Wiggins come off the bench and keeping Oubre in that starting lineup along with like a Damian Lee or a Michael Mulder. If Damian Lee and Michael Mulder can continue to progress, especially on the defensive end, maybe you get to that point. But for now, the offense is humming. I think they'll probably try to add a shooter between this time and the start of next season. But you've got some internal options. You've got Damian Lee. You've got Michael Mulder. They can shoot. I mean, Michael Mulder right now is as good of a three-point shooter as you're going to find on the open market. So why can't they get on the floor? Well, they need to be able to play make and needs to be able to defend at a higher level. That's what's going to get those guys on the floor. Otherwise, you have too much of a weakness on defense, and you're not really getting the ball handling and the playmaking that Steve Kerr emphasizes. Dustin wants to come back.
Hey, man. Back again. Hey, so I just wanted to clarify, you actually cannot combine player salary with a TPE go out and get like a larger contract. That, I think that's what that guy was asking.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think I misread the question. Yeah, I think he asked should they, and then I got too caught up in what they would do with the DPE and then why they want a shooter. But yeah, you're right, they can't. That's part of the issue with the DPE. You can only acquire a player who's in the final via trade in the final contract in the final year of his contract, or as a free agent, you can only sign him to a 1-year deal, and then you can't just go. You can't turn around, throw him together with Kevon Looney's $5 million contract, and then go and get some bigger guy. It's sort of like the trade exception. It's a similar rule to the trade exception where you can't really lump a bunch of contracts together and use the trade exception and Kevon Looney to go get something else. You kind of have to do an in-between type deal with the trade exception, but with the DPE, it's nearly impossible. And I still think that their best bet is using that on the buyout market. If they use it at all, they may not. They may not decide to use it. They may not want to pay even more in a luxury tax to go ahead and spend on that DPE. I think it's more of a break in case of emergency. That said, Dustin, I don't know if you have any ideas of guys that you would want the Warriors, or just maybe some intriguing ideas of guys that you think the DPE could be used for.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I'm not so sure that I would use the TPE. I mean, given the, you know, financial impact that teams have, suffered due to coronavirus. I mean, do you really feel like you're one trade away from, you know, being a true title contender? Right. I think, you know, I honestly think with Thompson out and, I think that's just so tough, man. I think they're in a really tough spot because you're already paying like Andrew Wiggins, like hand over fist. And, you know, you can't feel great about your title odds, especially with how good like the Nuggets are looking, how good the Lakers are looking, Clippers are looking, et cetera. I think it's probably best to be patient.
Yeah.
And like you said, use it on that buyout market where it's not going to cost you as much. I'm not even sure what they could get, like if they could get anything like meaningful, under that TPE. There's a couple of guys that I do find interesting if they come available. Of course, I'm an OKC fan, so of course, if we buy out Trevor Ariza, which could very well happen, I think Trevor Ariza would be a really good fit there. Definitely provide some depth. But again, I don't think that moves the needle. So, you know, I don't know that there's a guy out there that really is the end-all, be-all, solution to the Warriors to where, like, you know, they add him to the roster and you're like, we're now, you know, we have a 60% chance of winning the finals. Like, yeah, right. I don't think that guy exists out there.
No, and that's why I say it's more of a break in case of emergency type of solution, because the Warriors need to make the playoffs this year and like legitimately make the playoffs, not one of these, hey, we're the 9-10 seed in this play-in tournament. No, you need to be in the actual playoffs this year. And so if you suffer an injury to James Wiseman or Kevon Looney and all of a sudden you need some depth at center, maybe at that point you use the DPE on a free agent center or you know, you suffer some injury to the perimeter and you use, you know, maybe you do go out and get a Trevor Ariza on the buyout market. That to me, it's not necessarily to go from this team to title contender. It's to just make sure that you make the playoffs, because you get one mulligan. You're allowed 1-15-50 season when Steph Curry goes down with a broken hand for most of the year. You get that. You don't really get two mulligans. If you want to be this next San Antonio Spurs, then you don't get to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row. You just don't. And I think it's really important for this team, paying as much as they are on the luxury tax, wanting to go where it is that they want to go, to make the playoffs this year. And that's where I think the DPE comes in. It's a break in case of emergency. We're suffering an injury, a coronavirus protocol thing that's going to sideline X player for 4 or 5 games. And we just need somebody to soak up some minutes. But then again, then what was the point of last year? If the entire point of last year going into last season was to build up this team's depth and signing a guy like Bazemore and Wanamaker and using a second round pick on Nico Mannion and bringing in Juan Toscano-Anderson on a 2-way contract, all of this was meant to have, it was meant to create depth. Now, losing Klay Thompson, you're already kind of going into that well, right? You're already trying to use that depth. But I still think that depending on who it is, this group could sustain a loss to an Andrew Wiggins or a Kelly Oubre for a few games. Probably not to a Draymond Green or a Steph Curry in a 72-game season. These games matter just a little bit more. And so if you lose those guys for a sustained amount of time, then you at least have to consider what the DPE can get you at that point. Dustin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I want to, or if you have somebody else to bring up, you know, you can just kick me out. But I just had a couple other ideas I wanted to discuss.
Do it.
Yeah, so I'm curious, you know, how do you feel about, you know, Otto Porter's making a lot of money. He's an unrestricted free agent. I don't know that he, like, really fits, like, the Bulls' long-term plans. And you know, I wonder if, you know, Bulls management approaches Otto Porter and say, hey, we want to buy you out. You know, we think we can save some money. We think we can improve our draft slot. You know, to be honest with you, you're not a part of our long-term plans. I wonder if Otto Porter would agree to that. You know, if the Bulls can save $10 million or whatever, you know, would the Warriors be interested in Otto Porter? I think they would be. And then James Johnson, too. You know, they, you know, down there in Dallas, they have, like, a lot of guys who play that big position. Kleber, Porzingis, Powell, Willie Cauley-Stein, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if, you know, and James Johnson was acquired via trade, you know, a salary matching thing. So I wonder, you know, if Dallas would feel that way about James Johnson, too. And, you know, they could save some money, and also James Johnson could make some more money. So I think that those are a couple situations where it makes sense for the, you know, possibly the players as well as the organizations where they can come to an agreement. And I think that those are two players that could really help the Warriors out.
Yeah, I think they would consider the Otto Porter deal if he were to get bought out. The Bulls buying him out makes more sense, I think, even than Dallas buying out James Johnson, just because I think the Mavericks are going to want to have depth for what they think they're going to have is a long playoff run. But with Otto Porter, yeah, I could see Chicago. Like, if Chicago wants to save money, and we know that that's been one of their motivations over the last several years, they like to save money where they can and maybe tank a little bit in what is going to be a really nice 2021 draft class. I could see that. I think Otto Porter's next life after this $28 million, you know, a year contract expires after this year is sort of the new Robert Covington. And as far as, you know, is a stout defender, can shoot threes, not really much of a ball handler or playmaker, and probably a little overrated on both ends, where, you know, I remember Warriors fans wanted to trade D'Angelo Russell for Robert Covington straight up last year. I never understood that. To me, Covington seems like a nice player because, you go, oh, 3 and D, can play defense, can shoot threes. But the problem with guys like Covington and a guy like Porter is they don't move the ball. They're not playmakers. They're kind of you kind of take what Kelly Oubre is for this team, but you subtract some athleticism and add some better 3-point shooting, and that's kind of what you got. And I don't know how valuable that kind of player is to the Warriors, especially considering that they would have to pay so much more with the within the luxury tax to add him at the buyout market. But that said, if they're in a certain way by the after the trade deadline, and they really need to spruce up this defense and add some shooting, then it's something that they could certainly consider. But as far as those guys as long-term options, those sorts of players just don't really make sense within what Golden State has been trying to do. James Johnson, I thought, actually would be a nice backup to Draymond Green, especially if Eric Paschal's future is a small ball five. I think James Johnson has a lot of skills that would be more useful to the Warriors than Otto Porter would be, as far as being a big guy who can handle the ball and push the ball in transition. I think they just value guys who can play make and handle the ball and push the pace. And James Johnson's one of those guys. Any other ideas?
Yeah. So I wonder how much New Orleans really values J.J. Redick. I know Stan Van Gundy and him have a relationship, you know, used to coach him when he was with the Magic, but they've got Josh Hart. They've got Lonzo Ball. They've got Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They got Kier Lewis Jr. Are they looking to just really make the best playoff run, you know, this year, or are they looking to build, you know, for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years? I happen to think it's the latter part of that answer. And I just wonder what would be the motivation in keeping J.J. Redick. You know, look, still a really good shooter, but he is up there in age. And I think he would probably be more valuable to a team like the Warriors versus, you know, a team like the Pelicans who, you know, we've already seen that they're going you know, to the youth movement. I don't think J.J. Redick is really a guy that puts you over the top if you're the Pelicans. So, to me, I think the move there is to, like, hey, buy him out, let him go make some more bread at the tail end of his career and while he still can, and you know, run with the young fellas in New Orleans. Would you guys be interested in J.J. Redick?
I think J.J. Redick would be a really nice fit for this team. When you talk about, like, you could add J.J. Redick to the starting lineup, and you start to replace the floor spacing you lose with Klay Thompson. He's a decent playmaker, tries hard on defense. He's smart defensively, at least, even though he can get beat one-on-one just because of his size and lack of athleticism. But you add him to the starting lineup, and I think it looks very different. And suddenly Steph Curry has a ton more space. So does Draymond. So does James Wiseman. I don't know how motivated New Orleans would be to move off of J.J. Redick. A lot of people kind of gave them flack this offseason because they added Steven Adams to a team that already has Zion Williamson. I didn't mind that move as much as a lot of other people. It's a 72-game season. That's a lot of games still. You need bodies out there. Steven Adams is one of the better centers in the league. I don't have a problem with adding good players to a team that wants to make the playoffs, but that makes J.J. Redick's role on that team that much more important as that floor spacer. People don't value Kira Lewis or respect Kira Lewis the way that they do J.J. Redick. Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, same thing. So you need that floor spacing element there if you're going to play those big man groups the way that Stan Van Gundy has been playing them. So I think they're motivated to keep him at least through this year. And so I'm not sure how realistic an option is that is. But Dustin, I'm going to let you go here because I got to go. Thanks so much for joining me. This is good.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me up, man. Have a great day.
You too. That's it for this week's mail call. Appreciate everybody, Dustin, Jorge, who called in. Appreciate everybody on Twitter and in emails who sent me questions. You can send more questions on Twitter at WC Goldberg. Email those to WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com if you prefer to do it that way. And follow me here on the Locker Room app. We're doing one of these mail calls at least once a week. We might ramp that up if they get a little bit more popular and as people keep wanting to call in. So this has been fun. It's been real. Have a happy new year, everybody. Subscribe to the Locked On Warriors podcast. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow after tonight's game.